Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 251 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used with the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it Where Fitz Left Off. Today, the man who followed Major John Wesley Powell's trek down the Colorado River, and for whom the pediatric wing at Party Hospital is named, Dr. Fletcher Rayford. Dr. Fletcher Rayford could be described as an intransigeant. As a doctor, he practiced medicine in the old-fashioned way. Both Carrie and Katina, our two children, had their health from infancy directed by Dr. Rayford, and he had his strong convictions with no compromise. He insisted on baker's milk, which had to be boiled 3 hours before it could be fed to them. He was downright anti-aspirin. In fact, I was interviewing him one morning in observance of Poison Prevention Week, and he suddenly said, "While I don't consider aspirin a poison, children shouldn't be given more than 3 or 4 during their entire childhood." Before I could say a word, Dr. Rayford continued, "And certainly Coca-Cola is not good for them." By this time, I started talking louder than Rayford, afraid of what next he might say. And we did hear from the Coca-Cola people in short order. Dr. Rayford was a Virginian, born in Sedley, and graduated from the Medical College of Virginia. He spoke with a distinct and deliberate southern drawl, but not the Virginia accent that uses such words as potatoes and tomatoes. Dr. Rayford came to Hendersonville to practice as a pediatrician in 1951. The first 2 years, any hospitalization of his patients would be in the old Pat Memorial until November 1953, when Pardee opened. I knew that Fletcher Rayford was independent of purpose and was a great outdoorsman, because in the spring each year I'd find where he'd left for me here at the station a bunch of ramps he'd gathered in his hikes back into the wilderness areas. In later years, I always gave him to Al Hope, it takes a special constitution to eat and enjoy ramps and some of the other concoctions that lowlanders only can conjure up. Even knowing he was an outdoorsman and enjoyed adventure, I was hardly prepared for a phone call from him. He said in that southern drawl, "Kermit, we want you to meet us up at Penrose Saturday morning at 7:30. I suggest you wear a warm jacket." I responded, "What am I going to do at Penrose?" "Why, we're going to raft down the French Broad River to Marshall." I said, "You're going to raft down the French Broad River, not me." My response didn't faze him in the least. He continued to discuss the itinerary, approximate times we'd pass various places, where we'd stop to eat, and I kept trying to interrupt to insist I'm not going to be part of this trip. He talked right on. "Ought to be a real experience," he was saying, when I virtually shouted in the telephone, "Dr. Rayford, I am not going to meet you at Penrose. I am not going to be on that raft. I am not going down the French Broad River." His voice still calm as he drawled, "You're making a terrible mistake. This will be the thrill of a lifetime." "Not my lifetime. Just don't count me in." I think by this time he was ready to accept the fact that I was not going to be in this adventure he had planned. I don't know how many trips he made on the French Broad River or other rivers, but by 1973 he decided he was ready for the mighty Colorado River through the Grand Canyon, and he persuaded 22 other trippers to shoot the rapids for 235 miles on a trip that would take 10 days. On September 27, 1973, he and his daughter Harriet and 25 others, including 3 river guides, entered the Colorado River 15 river miles below the dam at Lee's Ferry. The party traveled the river in 2 rafts, one over 30 feet long, the other consisting of 3 smaller craft lashed together, each of the 2 units powered by outboard motors. Dr. Rayford, as trip director, had also arranged, once they had completed the 235-mile journey from Lee's Ferry to Diamond Creek, Arizona, took them 10 days, Dr. Rayford had arranged for a small plane to take small groups back up the river, flying almost at water level to their starting point, flying between the walls of the canyon so each could see below him the waters they had just come down. That airplane trip back took, not 10 days, 1 hour. I was familiar with all these outdoor experiences and was chatting with B. Sims in the Jack's packs that we had talked about earlier. Dr. Rayford came in, explained his wife was going on a visit out of town and he'd be batching for several days. Well, B and I continued to talk as Rayford kept rummaging through the frozen food section, musing, that sounds good. Boy, that sure looks good. I said nothing. I couldn't believe this man who had cooked in the wilds, had communed with nature, was going to live off TV dinners till his wife got back. And apparently, this was his first experience, because he was selecting most of the meals on the basis of the picture on the carton. I never did get to ask him of the rude awakening that had to come when he started eating those beautifully packaged meals. Dr. Fletcher Rayford, truly one of a kind. He was an institution in Hendersonville from 1951 until he retired in 1988. And it was certainly appropriate that the pediatric wing on the second floor at Pardee is named for him and prominently displays a plaque in his honor along with a picture of this great friend of this seventh child, of the seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave in a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.